Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news this Saturday morning as we talk shock transfer involving a Newcastle player. Also, why transfers may actually not always be a good thing. I'm talking if you sign Liam Delap, if you sign certain players. Man United being linked to a player that we were linked to last summer that we could go for this summer, who I think's a load of shit. So just because we're spending money, it might not get spent on the players we want, and we'll be talking about a player that Man United are moving for. It isn't Liam Delap, but it is a striker that we went for last year that we were very grateful that we didn't get. So we'll talk about that as well. Somebody in the chat I just want to get rid of here. Let's get rid of them. That's a problem with a live chat. Sometimes you get a prat. And also, Michael Carrick apparently isn't favourite for the Manchester United job. We'll talk about that. And I want to get into what it says on the thumbnail, the list. This morning, a report coming out that doesn't impact on us. Aston Villa and Liverpool are monitoring Tottenham midfielder Lucas Bergvall, with both clubs eager to lure him in with the offer of Champions League football next season. Tottenham facing a summer exodus with several players weighing up moves to ensure their careers stay on course. No link from Man United there. But also then an article in The Athletic saying that if Spurs get relegated, then Conor Gallagher, Mickey van der Ven, Christian Romero will leave. Plus that, Solanke, Kudos, Maddison, Kulusevski, Simons, Richarlison, Vicario, Porro, Adogi, Danzo, Spence would also be looking for moves as well. I think that look, whether you'd sign some or all of them or none of them, this is something that United have to bring into the equation. I don't know whether we think like this, but we have to. You have to be opportunist. Christian Eriksen a couple of years ago was an opportunist signing, and he did quite well until Andy Carroll's bad tackle on him. You can't just go, we're doing this, we're not going to... Man United to me just seem a bit blinkered, a bit tunnel vision. This is what we're doing. We like Belaba. There's better midfielders out there, but we like Belaba. We're going for Belaba. He's shit, yeah, but we're still going for him. No one else wants him. Yeah, we still want him. Brighton wants silly money, yeah, but we still want him. We seem to be quite tunnel visioned. I think you've got to look at that situation and go, well, if Tottenham did get relegated, how many of their players actually improve us? Some people would say Mickey van der Ven does. Some people might say Conor Gallagher does. I would say Bergvall does. I would say Simons does. I would say Porro does. I would say Adogi does. And there's plenty of opportunities there. Are we going to sit back and watch those players be picked up by the likes of Chelsea, Arsenal, Newcastle, Villa? You know, we should be in that queue to take some of those players. I don't know. My honest answer this morning is I don't know, but maybe we'll come back to that. I don't know whether we're considering that. However, the big story I wanted to talk about this morning was that Manchester United, this was with Give Me Sport, Manchester United are plotting a move to sign perfect Premier League defender. Man United are plotting an ambitious summer for Newcastle United defender Malik Tau, according to reports. They're looking to bring in a new centre-back after the season to potentially replace Harry Maguire, whose contract is due up in June. And Tau is viewed as a top defensive target, having grown impressive with his debut season at Newcastle. Now, look, that is the first time I've seen Manchester United get linked to him. He has only had one season in the Premier League. He is 24 years of age. I personally think, look, I know Ekitike mugged him off at Anfield a couple of weeks ago, but I think that he is a top player, right-footed as well, can play to the left. I mean, look, if you're talking to... If we're being serious here, is this not just a similar situation to Spurs anyway? I know Newcastle won't get relegated, but with no European football, how many of these players can they keep? How much longer can they keep this project going? I would say that this is the sort of deal you do if you're ambitious. This is the sort of deal you do if you're ruthless. But I've got to sit here and say I don't see United doing it, and I don't see Newcastle wanting to do it. I think United, when presented with an opportunity like this, will give a contract to a 33-year-old Harry Maguire who's on the decline. I think that we should be looking at these sort of players. And I think there are opportunities. Maybe not the same as maybe they're not the same opportunities as of Spurs. But I still look at Newcastle and I would say the same. You've got Lewis Hall, Liveramento, Tonali, maybe Bruno Guimarães, Anthony Gordon, Tau. These are players that won't all be Newcastle players next year, because financially and ambition-wise, it doesn't suit them to stay at Newcastle when Newcastle have got financial issues and are not in Europe. So again, I like the story. I think Harry Maguire should leave. I don't like saying this because I do like what Harry Maguire has done for the club in the last 2 or 3 years. We'll always have Leon. We'll always have Liverpool. However, we struggled doing this with great players, keeping them on. A lot of the time, they were getting a one-year deal. I think we were giving a one-year deal to Ryan Giggs for years. You're telling me that we're thinking about giving Harry Maguire a couple of years on 100 grand a week? I just think, what are we doing? And we wonder why we don't achieve, because we don't make the changes that need to happen to make us achieve. No one's criticising Harry Maguire for wanting to stay at Man United. No one's criticising his performances, but we're trying to move forward. We're not trying to... I think some of these deals that we do with the likes of Maguire and Shaw and everybody is like we're maintaining something that's not there. Oh, we need to keep these players because... And then you go, because we finished 15th? We very rarely qualify for the Champions League. We've never been in a title race. What is it about these players that you think they offer? Experience. Experience in what? Well, they're admired by players. Are they? Well, what do those players do with that admiration? Finish 15th. So I sort of look at it on the harsh side of it and go, well, yeah, look, he might be a popular player around the dressing room. I'm sure he is a bit of a leader, but in what? What's that actually delivered? Manchester United in the last 5 years? What's all this leadership and being liked in the dressing room actually achieved? I'll tell you what, I'd rather have a dressing room that didn't get on and finish second than a dressing room that gets on really well and finishes sixth. So I think we need to start being ruthless. The open heart surgery that Ralph Rangnick spoke about years ago just hasn't happened. Ruthless aggression is what you need in the transfer window. And I don't see it. I don't see that, like... We've just spoken about a big list of players that might be available at Spurs and Newcastle. Are we actually talking to those players? I'd be speaking to this Tau. I'd be speaking to Lewis Hall. I'd be speaking to Bergvall. I'd be saying, look, on the QT, what do you think about Man United in the summer? Are you interested? And if you get any, you might get in there first. You might get in there first. And people say, well, you can't do that. That's tapping up. Come on. And where have you been for 30 years? If you get in contact with Lucas Bergvall through an intermediary and say, look, Man United really like you. Obviously, they're not going to approach Spurs or you at the moment because it's a season. But hypothetically, Spurs get relegated or don't. Do you fancy Man United? Is it on your priority list? And if it comes back, yeah, he'd love to play for Man United. You're away. You're away then, aren't you? And we should be doing that. We should be doing that. I don't know whether we are. I don't know, but we should be doing that. In relation to Tau, look, I've got to say, I really like him at Newcastle. However, my honest opinion is it might be a 2+2=6 story, because, of course, Newcastle aren't going to be in Europe by the looks of it. It looks like too big of an ask. He's had a fantastic season, but it is season one for him in the Premier League. And I think it's very difficult to... I think you can go and get Anthony Gordon. You might be able to get Lewis Hall. I think you can get Tonali. But I think there'll be certain players at Newcastle that you're not going to get. You're not going to get Alanga, even if you want him. You're not going to get Jacob Ramsey. And I don't think you're going to get Tau out in his first year. But he's a very good player. And if you're ambitious, you should be looking at those sort of players. But obviously, Newcastle aren't going to get relegated. But an interesting story, because I think it poses up the question of, would you keep Harry Maguire or would you be looking at a player like that? I'd be looking at a player like that. It's not tapping up mate, you either understand the football world or you don't. It's not tapping up. It goes on all the time. Why do you think Liverpool will be talking to certain players? Why do you think Real Madrid were talking to Trent for a long time before it actually happened? It happens in football. It's really easy. If I'm Man United CEO and I quite like Tonali, I already have an indication of whether he'd come to Man United. Now, you might say that's tapping up. I'd say prove it. I presume we've had that conversation, but that's how it works. I mean, Elliot Anderson. Do you think Elliot Anderson is going to play for Nottingham Forest and train with Nottingham Forest, and nobody's got at him and said, do you fancy this? What do you fancy? You think his agent's just sat there on his phone watching bloody reels on Instagram? Come on, get into the real world. You're talking to these players all the time. All the time. Happens in any level of job as well. Any level of job. You might be working with someone and you think they're happy. They might be having talks with another business. You just don't know. James, look, it's definitely happened to me a couple of times in this where, you know, you've got people who are smiling to your face saying everything's great, what we're doing next year, and then they sit in front of you and go, you know, they've been talking to somebody else for 3 months. It's the way of the world. James says, I could only have seen this open heart surgery working if we had Ralph Rangnick and Ruben Amorim working together. Big Z says, whether kept or not, other players should learn from Maguire's resilience and mentality to come back after becoming a meme and losing the captaincy, says Big Z. And I completely agree with that. I can completely agree with that. And this is where, you know, a deeper conversation comes from. I think if I said I'd let Harry Maguire go and the club are stupid to keep him, people would go, oh, you hater. That's not true at all. I think he's been a fantastic player for us in the last 2 years. And Leon, like I say, was an amazing night. And him and Casemiro won us that game. It's a shame it didn't lead to us winning the Europa League because we were shit in that final, but there you go. But at 33, he's older than Casemiro and Casemiro needs to go. I saw Beth on her Instagram last night at an event where Casemiro was there and she was saying, I tried to get him to stay. I felt like going, you're fired. I'm joking. But imagine if Beth came in on Monday and went, I persuaded him to stay. I'd be like, all right, so it's your fault. I don't want Casemiro to stay. I don't want Casemiro to stay. I think he's served his purpose and it's time to go. Another year, you're walking on thin ice all the time. When's it going to break? I don't want Casemiro to stay. I'm very happy for him to go. He's on 300 grand a week. That goes up to 350 if we're in the Champions League. Absolutely do not want Casemiro playing two games a week at his age. I want him gone. But that doesn't mean he's not been one of our better players this season. It's about building a future. And some people build a future by keeping things the same. And some people build a future by going, we need to build for the future. We've got to make some big decisions. Harry Maguire, to me, in a back two, will not sit on the bench with a smile on his face. He wants to play. Well, Martinez is always going to play. So what happens with De Ligt, Yoro, Heaven? Harry Maguire becomes a block to them people. I don't know why people want Maguire to stay. Oh, because he's experienced and he's been through adversity. Oh, he's the only person in the world that's been through adversity, is he? Come on. He's going to want to play. And if he wants to play, your bench, where's the development for Yoro in Heaven? You know, we're all about the youth. Carrick's watching the youth. We've got two centre-backs that were playing quite regularly up until Christmas who can't get a look in at the moment because a 33-year-old's playing every week. Oh, it doesn't matter. That's not the youth we're talking about. Well, that's development. Mr. Cool says it's a squad game. Is it a squad game? Are you seeing a lot of rotation at the moment? No, because we've got one game a week. Oh, but next year? What next year? What? We're playing midweek. Do you think we're going to change our centre-back pairing in Champions League where we need to win? I think you've got to think these things through. If you want to keep a player like Harry Maguire, he's not going to sit on the bench with a smile on his face. He's going to want to play. And if he's going to want to play, then that's why he's going to sign the contract. If he's not going to play, he's a fool because he's going to be sat on the bench. So also, what's the purpose of it? What is the experience that he brings? If I'm a young player and I look at Harry Maguire, oh, you've won the World Cup. Oh, you've won the Champions League. Oh, you've won the Premier League. No, I haven't. I've come back from playing shit and started playing well. I mean, that's good, but Michael Carrick played for Man United. I'd rather keep Man United. If Carrick's going to be the manager, why do I need Harry Maguire? Michael Carrick's played for Manchester United. He's won things for Manchester United. What experience are we talking about here? I just... I just sometimes look at our decision making and I go, well, it's like the next story. Again, give me sport. Man United, Nicholas Jackson could be a target this summer as a striker. And I instantly want to wipe my arse on it. But then I go, who remembers last summer Nicholas Jackson was like a big target for Man United? We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it because we don't like it. But Nicholas Jackson was being linked to Manchester United by numerous credible journalists until he went to Bayern. He was on our shortlist. I specifically remember Nicholas Jackson being mentioned by big journalists. I think Romano mentioned it. I don't want to say Ornstein because I don't know whether he did. But it was mentioned by credible journalists, which means Man United's current board, because it's not changed, it's still Wilcox, it's still Favell, it's still Berarda, they had Nicholas Jackson on their shortlist. That definitely happened. It wasn't a nightmare, and it wasn't a dream in any way, shape or form. He's available this summer. Man United are apparently looking at Nicholas Jackson again. I mean, and that's a warning as well. I don't think we'll sign Nicholas Jackson. I think it's very easy to say we won't, but obviously I don't think we will. But he was certainly a shortlisted striker. But it is a warning sign again that just because we're going to spend money doesn't mean we're going to spend it well. There's always this assumption that, oh, we're going to spend £200 million in the summer and it's going to be really good players. But let me just remind you who the board is again. They've made countless bad decisions. Keeping Ten Hag, giving him £300 million and sacking him 3 months later. Taking Dan Ashworth from Newcastle, putting him on gardening leave for 5 months, then sacking him 3 months into his job. Sacking Amorim after giving him £200 million of players halfway through a season. Not buying midfielders when we need midfielders. They've made so many bad choices, and there's a lot more than that. And we're meant to sit here and go, I don't think they'll sign Nicholas Jackson. I mean, I do. They went for Liam Delap. Like, I do think they might be capable of buying some right shit this summer as well. So, look, hopefully Nicholas Jackson will not end up being a Manchester United player, but we mustn't forget that we were linked to him quite heavily last summer, and he is available this summer. And we do need a striker. And it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Because for some reason, maybe it's the Chelsea effect, United do quite like Nicholas Jackson. How's he done at Bayern, Mark? I mean, look, playing for Bayern Munich as a striker, Harry Kane has been world class. Some of the goals he's scored are incredible. And not many people in world football could score them. On the other side, playing as a striker for Bayern Munich, you will get some right sitters, and Kane has scored some sitters as well. So Nicholas Jackson has had and scored some goals for Bayern because you will naturally get them playing up front for Bayern Munich. Stick Nicholas Jackson in a Man United side that needs a goal, and I think you might see the reality. But I wouldn't go anywhere near him, no. But we do need an experienced striker. I'm not going to deny that. Absolutely. B34 says Belabor might be a mistake. Well, yeah, I mean, we've spoken about that a lot. I think it may well be a mistake, yeah. But this is the thing about the transfer window. It's like, are we actually looking at opportunities, or are we tunnel visioned on this is what we want and this is what we're going to do? I think that sometimes we are landlocked on what we want to do and we're obsessed with what we want to do, but you've got to be very good at your job then. If you're going to be a manager and you're not going to listen to other people, you're just going to go, this is what I'm going to do, I'm in charge. That's great if you are somebody that is really, really good at your job. But if you're somebody who's bad at your job, it becomes a problem. Let's get this win on Monday, says James. Thank you very much. Tau can play a number of positions, right back and DM as well, says Azza. I think he's a fantastic player. I really do like him, and I'd love this to grow into something, but When I look at the opportunities of this summer transfer window, I'm looking at
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Look, if Spurs get relegated, it will be the biggest relegation I've experienced in my life, and I'm in my mid-40s, so the only other relegation that's bigger than this is probably Man United in the 70s, and I wasn't alive for that. So it'd be absolutely huge. I don't know whether I want Spurs to get relegated. It's too early for me to decide that. But if they did get relegated, Pedro Porro is better than both our right backs. I actually think Adogie's quite decent at left back. He's just a bit injury prone. Obviously, a lot of people like Van der Ven. I really like Bergvall. I think Simons is a good player as well. I wouldn't go anywhere near Maddison or Kulusevski because of injuries. Kudos is decent. I mean, there's some good players there that are better than what we've got. Now, the way this works is maybe in January, you're not even shortlisting those players. They're not even part of your list. You're going Stiller, Belaba, I don't know, players, Anderson, okay? But you have to be a football club that sees opportunities. And Spurs is an opportunity. There's no doubt about it. There are players at Spurs that they're going to have to move on. Now, they might only move three players on. If they stay up, I still think they're going to have to move players on. They might only move three players on, but you need to be at the front of the queue for that. You can't just be like, "Oh, look at Liverpool taking opportunities from this modern game is a squad game more than it's ever been." And there could be some really good. Some people have this mentality and some people don't. You go shopping on a Saturday afternoon, you don't really know what you want. You see an opportunity and you take it. You go shopping on a Saturday afternoon, you know exactly what you want. You've got a list, you see an opportunity, you ignore it, you're only buying what's on your list. I think Manchester United and any football club in modern football can't just operate off a list. You've got to be looking for opportunities. Financially, it makes sense, but also the game is becoming a squad. Like, I genuinely was having this chat with somebody on Wednesday or Thursday that I think a lot of clubs are going to try and follow the Arsenal model now, where you have a huge squad, because we're going to get more and more injuries. We are getting more and more injuries. It's been swept under the carpet because the Premier League and UEFA don't want people to talk about it. We are getting more and more injuries. We've had a lot of injuries. We're only playing one game a week and we've had a lot of injuries when you think about it. De Ligt, Dorgu, Bruno, Mason Mount every week, Mazraoui at the start of the season. We have had quite a few injuries. Maguire. We've had a few injuries, even though we're hardly playing football. So Arsenal have had loads of injuries. Man City have had injuries. Their whole back four was out, weren't they? So there's a lot of injuries in the game. And I think the only way you deal with that is by having a big squad. So if United are looking to bring in three or four players in the summer, which they probably are, because this is how we operate, well, Casemiro's going to go. So you bring four players in, you're really only bringing three players in. Xerxes is going to go, so you're really only bringing two players in. And who's to say Ugarte won't go? So the balance is you might see three out, four in. Oh, well, one player better off going into a season where we're going to play double the games. So you've got to be looking at opportunities. And obviously the financial limitations and the IQ limitations of our board might stop this. But if I've got Anderson, Stiller, Belaba, and these are all players that I want, and Ndia or Diamande, whatever, and I see Newcastle financially in trouble because they're not in Europe, and I see Villa drop out of Europe as well, and I see Spurs relegated, I've got to be swooping in. I've got to go. Xavi Simons is a really good player. I wasn't looking for a number 10, but he's a really good player, and it's an opportunity, and he's young, and he's Premier League proven, and he'll be here for the next 10 years. He might be the Bruno replacement, so I'm going to go for him. You might see Pedro Porro and go, at the price he is, he gets a lot of assists in the Premier League, he's Premier League proven, he's better than Delo, and he's better than Mazraoui, I want him. Bergvall, well, he wasn't on our midfield list, but he's young, he's Premier League proven, he's talented, I want him. You need to be, I don't know whether United are going to do this, but I think it's a seed to plant in your head. How many opportunities are we going to go for? Because I've always done it. And granted, I'm talking about FIFA career mode or championship manager, but I'll have an idea of what I want to do in the summer. And then I'll look at the league table and go, they're not in Europe. They've been relegated. Right, let's go and get that. Let's go and get that. Let's go and get that. And I'm not saying Xavi Simons is the player. I mean, Azam says Xavi Simons is a number 10 and he can replace Bruno. I'm not so sure about that, but I do think that there are opportunities out there and you've got to look at them. You've got to look at them. And I don't know whether we operate like that as a football club. I really don't. But if I had my way, there's left backs available at Spurs, Villa and Newcastle that are better than what we've got. There are midfielders available at those three clubs that are better than what we've got. And if you're looking at it, there are number 10s as well. There are. And I personally do like Anthony Gordon. And I know that United do as well. I just don't know how you afford that. I think Anthony Gordon's going to cost a lot of money. But there are some really good opportunities there. Marlow United says, a couple of weeks ago, you wanted Casemiro to go, but Maguire to stay because the way he's fought his way back. What has changed? Well, you're right, Marlow. You're right. And I have, you might not have watched the show where I spoke about that because I have been quite conflicted about Harry Maguire. However, what I said was, and I'll repeat it here, since Carrick's come in and we've gone to a back four, that was the point where I think Maguire goes. If you think about it, Maguire and the talk of a new contract was actually happening in November and December. And I was like, I'd keep him. We play three centre-backs. He plays well in a three centre-back system. There's more centre-backs required. So even if you're picking De Ligt, Martinez and Yoro, one or two of them get injured, you've only got Heaven. Okay, Luke Shaw can play there, Mazraoui. I would have kept Maguire for another year in a three centre-back system because you need double the centre-backs. In a two centre-back system, I still think he can be exploited. I don't think it's happened as much yet, but it will happen. I'm telling you now, he's going to get done in a back four because he's on his own and he's slow. He will get exploited in a back four. And also, we're only playing two centre-backs now. So to me, we don't need to keep him anymore. We don't. In a back four, we don't need him. In a three, I'd have kept him. Now, that's the nuance that people aren't going to like because they're going to go, oh, you wanted him and now you don't. But that's the explanation. And to me, it's abundantly clear. Three centre-back system, he plays well in it and we need more centre-backs. Two centre-back system, I think he's vulnerable in it and he's also blocking off other people getting into the team. So I would move him on for that reason. The formation change is the reason. It's as simple as that. Yeah. Hi, Mark. Do you think any of the midfielders out there can replace Casemiro's heading ability? It says Dirty Deeds. I think the closest player out there that's available at the moment that's half decent in the air is Elliot Anderson, and he ain't Casemiro. We're not going to replace that. We're not going to replace that. And you can't replace it with Harry Maguire because Harry Maguire is very good in the air, but you can't just play him as a centre-back in a back four for a whole season. He won't be able to do it. So I think there has to be... You make a good point. There has to be an acknowledgement that next season is going to be a huge change. No matter what we do between now and the end of May, you can learn nothing from it because next season is going to be huge transitionally, which is why I'd bring a new manager in. Because if Michael Carrick gets us into the Champions League and people think we're going to take momentum from this season into next season, they're very naive. We're going to lose a huge ability in the air that we're not going to be able to replace. And we're going to be playing a lot more games. And this is not sustainable. Some players are playing every week because of the World Cup. They won't be playing every week next season when the World Cup's not there. We are going to see a huge change next season, no matter what. No matter what happens, we will see a huge change next season, which is why, for me, we need a huge transition stylistically in the summer. I would be acknowledging that next year, set pieces aren't going to be as good because Casemiro and Maguire shouldn't be playing as many games. Well, Casemiro definitely won't be. So you're going to lose your ability on set pieces. We need to become a possession-based side and we need to use the flanks better in open play and utilise Sesko's set piece and aerial ability in open play. So my investment into that team is midfield and people who can play football in the midfield and fullbacks who can put crosses into the box. And I think if we do those two things, we'll be a better team anyway next season. But we're so reliant. If you think about the Fulham game, we only beat Fulham because of set pieces. We score from a free kick and we score from a corner, don't we? We're very good at set pieces, but we're not going to be as good at set pieces next season because we're not looking to buy a centre-back and we're not going to get a midfielder who's big in the air either. So it has to be a hugely transitional summer. And I think the mistake some fans are going to make is if we get Champions League football, oh, momentum, momentum. I don't think there's any momentum next year. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see any momentum points next season that are, we don't need to do much in the summer. I think the summer has to be big no matter what. You get third place in the Premier League, I think some of our fans will be going, oh, wow, momentum, momentum. We're going for the league next year. I would be going third place, well done. But what momentum are we going to take from that? Like, there's too much that needs to change. So we have to get the midfield right and we have to get the flanks right. I think we're shite down the full. I think we're shit at fullback, really bad. And there's no point having a 6'5" striker if you can't put crosses into the box from open play. Some of these players are good, maybe even great, but is Premier League experience becoming too much of a factor in our targets? How many of these players in truth are actual needle movers, says Patrick Lynch. Look, Angelo Stiller could easily be a better player than Elliot Anderson or Carlos Baleba. But two of them are Premier League experience and Stiller isn't. Nagelsmann could be 10 times the coach De Zerbi or Iriola or Glasner is, but he doesn't have the Premier League experience. I think it's dangerous, Patrick, to go, we value Premier League experience. I think when it's someone like Cunha and Mbeumo, who've been playing in the Premier League for 2 or 3 years and are 25, I get that over signing a 19-year-old from RB Leipzig. I completely get that. But there's always got to be context. As I was saying last night, Pep Guardiola never managed in the Premier League, came into the Premier League and is one of the greatest we've ever had. Jurgen Klopp never managed in the Premier League, came into the Premier League, rebuilt Liverpool from a shell and became one of the greatest managers. Arsene Wenger never managed in the Premier League, built a shit Arsenal side into one of the best teams the Premier League's ever seen. So the Premier League is littered with managers with no Premier League experience. In fact, if you ran the data, you whack it into ChatGPT and say, statistically, what's the success rate of a manager that's never managed in the Premier League compared to a manager that's managed in the Premier League? And I think it's going to be above 90% on no Premier League experience. Because I can't think of a Premier League manager that had Premier League experience that's won the Premier League, other than Ranieri, who'd managed Chelsea before Leicester. I'm struggling. I am struggling. I mean, there might be another Chelsea one. Mourinho, when he came back and won it, yeah. But the vast majority of them, Premier League experience, Sir Alex Ferguson didn't have. He came from Aberdeen. That's not the same. You'll be upsetting the Scottish. So yeah, look, I think Premier League experience is slightly overrated. In recent times with players, Rodri, no Premier League experience. One of the best players in the league won the Ballon d'Or. I'm choking a little bit here. So, some water. I think it's, there's nothing we can do about it other than wait and see. However, for me, I do worry about what I hear from the club, what I see in how they behave. I've always said it about the Ineos ownership. They're very tunnel visioned and they don't listen to anybody other than themselves. You look at every decision they've made, there's a huge element of stubbornness. Whether it's sacking half the workforce, whether it's knocking Old Trafford down. You know, you saw what Sir Jim Ratcliffe said last week. I mean, he is a guy that doesn't care what anyone else thinks because he believes he's right. And I think that runs all the way through the club. They seem to be very tunnel visioned on what they're doing and they don't seem to take into account advice externally at all. And that external advice can be how the fans feel. So I think that when I look at it, there's certain things I just don't like. I know for a fact we're not interested in buying anybody over 26. That's a financial decision. That's piss poor. In football, to say we're not buying people over 26 is shocking. We don't want to bring players in without Premier League, with unless they've got Premier League experience, unless they're a very young player with sell-on value. So they will buy a 21-year-old from Bundesliga because they've got resale value, but they're not really interested in people who are 25 and over. So these parameters are dangerous. And it goes back to what I was saying about the list. I could write a list of 15 players that I think are available in the summer.
from Villa, Newcastle and Spurs if they don't get European football. Are we looking at those opportunities or are we going, we're not bothered about opportunities, we've got our list and we're going to work on our list? And I feel that that's probably what they're doing. And there'll be people going, oh, you know, Bergvall's available at Spurs, don't care. Oh, you know, Lewis Hall's available at Newcastle, don't care. I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can. Vincent says, what you call stubbornness, I call a dictatorship. Well, it is a dictatorship. The Glazer ownership has always been a dictatorship, hasn't it? I mean, they've literally had 20 years of doing exactly the opposite of what the fans want. It's not nice to live under a dictatorship, but that's what it is. The Manchester United ownership is a dictatorship. Now, obviously, you use that word and people start thinking of some very serious historical dictatorships, and that's absolutely fine. But dictatorship, when you look at it under the dictionary, doesn't have to be something sinister, which is why regime change can sound sinister as well. But we need regime change. We are run by a dictatorship and we need regime change. But to do that, we need an alternative. You can't overthrow an ownership without an alternative. And until that comes forward, you know, it's a fruitless exercise. Emil says, Diamande, Anderson, Stiller, Mane and Tau. That Mane story is a load of shit, by the way. So just be wary of so-called experts. That Mane story is a load of shit. So I wouldn't be getting excited about that. Would you take Scott McTominay back? No, Jermaine, absolutely not. Shouldn't be going back with any player. Any player come to United is an upgrade for the current squad next season, says Azim. But that's what I'm talking about, Azam. I don't think for me, and I don't know how you feel, I'm not happy with three or four really good players coming into Manchester United. It won't be enough. And I think there's a lot of intelligence in the fan base last summer because we bought in three or four really good players in Mbeumo, Cunha, Sesko, Lemons. They were good signings, but most people ranked that transfer window a 5 out of 10. But we did buy four players. But the reason for that was the intelligence of the fan base to go, well, you have bought four players in, but that doesn't make it a good window. You didn't bring a midfielder in. You judge a transfer window on its entirety. So we could sign Kylian Mbappe this summer and it would be an amazing signing. I would give the transfer window a 2. And people would go, what are you on about? We just bought Kylian Mbappe. But I'd be like, do we need Kylian Mbappe? One of the best players in the world, but do we need him? And where's the midfield? And I think United fans have woken up to this because I think the Glazers did it for a long time. You'd have all year people going Glazers out, Woodward out. And then they'd buy a player and everyone would go, Woodward's walking in like a boss. And we did used to behave like that as a fan base. We'd be kidded by a shiny new toy. But we saw it last summer. We bought some really good players and the vast majority of the fan base were like, that's a below average window. And I'm sure people in the club were looking at it going, what? Why are they saying this? This used to work. But the fans have woken up because they're like, it doesn't work anymore. We're watching Arsenal and Liverpool spend $500 million and a lot of the players they're bringing in are bench players. And we're not solving issues in the first team. And you expect us to go, yeah, you bought in Mbeumo and Cunha. Where's the midfield? Where's the midfield? So I think this summer, we will buy big players. We will buy players that people want to buy the shirt for. Absolutely. But I have a feeling at the end of August, there still is a big opportunity where fans will go, I'm happy with that, I'm happy with that, I'm happy with that. But overall, it's not enough and we haven't solved all the problems. It's a 5 out of 10 or a 6 out of 10. United need an 8 out of 10 window and we've not had one. I don't remember the last 8 out of 10 window we had. The last one I think we had, and I was wrong, was the Van Gaal summer where he bought Schweinsteiger, Schneiderlin, Blind, Di Maria. I really thought that was going to be good, but it wasn't. For Man United to get an 8 out of 10 window, for me, I think you've got to, obviously, Casemiro, Maguire need to go. I would like to see someone like Luke Shaw go as well. Bruno needs to stay. You need to bring in two or three midfielders, three ideally. You need to bring in two fullbacks. You need to bring in a winger, another striker, a backup goalkeeper, and ideally a supplementary player elsewhere as well, maybe a 10. But that would be an 8 for me. But I just that's why I keep saying we need to buy 6 to 10 players. I think it's going to be more like 4 or 5. Morning, Mark. This is Andy Atherton. Hope you're doing well, mate. Spurs and Newcastle will not be easy to deal with this summer due to the new financial changes. The luxury tax allowance, a red threshold, allows spending up to 30% above the 85% limit. Yeah, we need to look into this. There is a change coming up in the summer, and it would be good maybe this week to get Ben Jacobs to go through it for us on the Thursday show. There is a change coming up and how it impacts, obviously. All I would say is, Andy, is that I think sometimes people get lost in financial rule changes. The fact is, Spurs, about 4 years ago, you looked at Spurs and FFP, and they could be spending, I think it was £300 million in the summer, and they'd be fine. There was definitely a summer where Spurs could have spent £300 million and they'd be fine and nobody else could do that. But they didn't have the £300 million.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So you've got to be very careful about your financial fair play and your rules, because the rules say, well, for the last couple of years you've broke even and you've made profit, so this summer you can spend 400 million quid. You still got to have the 400 million quid. It's great if you're Man City, because they'll have it. Man United might be able to spend half a billion this summer. Doesn't mean we've got half a billion, but we've still got fans out there that, if I said to you, I've run the numbers, even if we finish in the Europa League, we can spend 300 million pounds this summer and we won't be in trouble. People would go, let's do it. Hello, remember who the owners are. If we can spend £300 million, doesn't mean they're going to spend £300 million. If we can spend £300 million, they might only want to spend 50. So talking about Spurs, Newcastle, etc., the rules might say they don't need to sell to buy, but their cash flow might say something else. Just because your bank says you've got an overdraft of 10 grand, doesn't mean you're going to spend the 10 grand when your income says we're never going to be able to pay that back. So I think the point about Newcastle and Spurs is that if Spurs get relegated, they are fucked. They're going to have to sell a lot of players because projections are going to be incredibly bad. And Newcastle without Champions League next season, it's about next season, isn't it? Like we haven't felt, I ignore Man United's financial results this year and they're not good. Because you're always a year behind. And sometimes people can't work that out. They're like, oh, our financial results at the moment are bad because we're not in Europe. No, no, no. The financial results that are coming in at the moment are predominantly to do with last season. The financial results from now until this time next year are going to be really shit because we're going to get hit by no European games between January and May, where we made a lot of money last year. So it's not always about what you can spend. It's about what's coming in, what revenue is coming in through the door. Riley Jackson, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Why aren't you sold on Iriola, says Penfold? Super impressive and earned his opportunity. You will see good football every week too. I like it. Look, let's talk about the manager, because there's a couple of stories this morning that Michael Carrick isn't a favourite for the job and that the club aren't considering him as a permanent manager, but they might relook at it towards the end of the season. If that is true, I'm so happy. I'm so happy with that. If Man United are basically saying, no, we're not falling into the Solskjaer trap, doesn't matter how we play or how many games we win, we're not looking at until May, I'm very happy about that. That's absolutely perfect. Carrick should not be considered for the job until the back end of the season. So that would be great. Very, very happy about that. Which would mean they're considering other targets. Now, I would concede that Penfold, and I don't know about everybody else, when it comes to Iriola, I would have to say I do throw him in unfairly with Glasner and De Zerbi. He is a fantastic coach. In the years that he's been at Bournemouth, and I think it's about two now, he's had to deal with a tiny stadium, a tiny fan base, low revenue, mass exodus of players every single time you produce one, and they still play really good. And they've had a blip, but recently, I think they've got a better record than us. I think they've got the same as us. I think in the last six games, they've drawn two and won four. So he's done a fantastic job at Bournemouth, Iriola. And I would take Iriola over De Zerbi and Glasner. I've never been asked that question, but I would take him over those two. Glasner's football worries me. De Zerbi worries me. Iriola looks like a guy that can deal with a lot. And if you're Man United, you should look at him, because you look at the way the board at Bournemouth have dealt with him. He's never said, if you sell Semenyo, I'm going to walk. He understands that's the job and he gets on with it. But that to me is part of the problem. Is he not going to be too much of a puppet? Like at Bournemouth, we're selling him to Real Madrid. We're selling him to Man City. We're making a load of money and we're not spending it on players. You will get a replacement, but it'll be another prospect. Does that not concern you about Iriola? The football is really good, but under our board, it scares me because he's a massive yes man. And I think that the last thing we need is a yes man. Basically a person who gets shit on and like, we're not giving you this, you're not getting that, get on with it. I think he's a firefighter, Iriola. I think he's done a fantastic job at Bournemouth. And I think if you gave him the Newcastle job, I think he'd be bloody good. I really do. I think you might be able to give him the Man City job and he'd be good if you spoiled him. But I don't know about Man United. It's a hell of a job. And I think you need a bit of a personality as well. So, yeah, I think it would be a hard job for Iriola at Manchester United. Azam says, I reckon Glasner. I don't think Glasner's getting the job. Like Andy says, Glasner plays a back three and he's very defensive minded. You look at Glasner's not getting the job. I will tell you now as a fact, Glasner, forget it. He's not getting the Man United job. He was never getting the Man United job. He's not getting the Man United job. Absolutely not. And I've not been told that. I'm telling you. I am absolutely telling you, no chance. Even before the behaviour with Palace. And remember, they had a meeting yesterday about whether he's going to stay till the end of the season or not. So there's been a fallout with the board numerous times. United will steer clear of that. Secondly, he plays with a back three and did at Frankfurt. And thirdly, look at Frank and look at Spurs. Counter-attacking Brentford. Oh, God. Got something stuck in my throat. I'm going to choke live on air. The end of Goldbridge. I'm choking on... I don't know what I'm choking on. Right, okay. That's weird. Look at Frank. Counter-attacking team at Brentford did really, really well. Goes to Spurs. Expectations are high. People don't want that style of football. Glasner's style of football is not going to be liked. The three at the back is not going to be liked. And the way he's behaved with their board at Palace, rightly or wrongly, will not be liked. He will not get the job at Manchester United. I would rule Glasner out. I think at this stage, De Zerbi, obviously. Pochettino, I think, is very high. Nagelsmann, hopefully. And then Carrick. I think they're the four at the moment for me. Who will be considered in the summer. It'd be interesting if somebody could come up on the rails. And I think Iriola's got a chance if he can keep winning with Bournemouth. I mean, they've got a massive game against West Ham this afternoon. But if he can keep winning games, then it's like Carrick. You've got to, you can't ignore it. How would you feel if Ineos had 100% of Man United, says Jermaine? I'd rather Ineos had 100% of Man United than the Glazers have 50%. I mean, I don't like Ineos, but I'd rather they were majority owners. I mean, I don't like Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Ineos and what they've done to Man United, but I'd rather they were totally in control than the Glazers. I mean, I don't subscribe to the view that I'd rather have the Glazers in control than Ineos. I don't like Ineos and I don't like Sir Jim Ratcliffe. But there is a part of me that believes they do actually care a little bit about Man United. They're just clueless. The Glazers, as we're seeing with the purchase of this cricket club, they're just mercenaries. They're no better than Ineos. They might have made slightly better decisions, but they're still mercenaries. I don't want them. I don't think Southgate's going to get it, Dr. Strange. I really don't. As much as I could scare people, I don't think he is. Callan, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much for your super chat. Arsenal are a laughing stock, but Arteta has transformed them into a team that challenge on all fronts. Would you be happy to see that sort of progression from the new manager, even if it means no silverware for a few years? But we've had no silverware for 13 years. I don't count the Carabao Cup or the FA Cup. I don't. I think they're okay, but I don't. Silverware for me is the Champions League or the Premier League. That's the bar. If Real Madrid just kept winning the Copa del Rey, I don't think Real Madrid fans count that. if the Bundesliga, if Bayern Munich were just winning the German Cup but never getting anywhere near the Bundesliga, they wouldn't count it. You've got to win the Premier League. You've got to win the Champions League. So I would definitely take what Arsenal have done over the last 4 years, because I look at where Arsenal were before Arteta came in and they were a joke. They were a joke. Their only growth industry was AFTV. Since Arteta's come in, he's built a team and a squad that, okay, they might be bottlers, but they're still fighting for the title every year. They're in the Champions League every year. And this is what I mean about the ladder. Some fans want to go from the bottom of the mountain to the top of the mountain straight away. I accept there is a mountain to climb at Man United. I accept that. I don't like it, but I accept there is a mountain to climb. And I even accept that we might climb halfway up the mountain and fall a little bit down again. But what I'm fed up of seeing is we're trying to climb to the top of the mountain and we keep falling to the bottom. So I would take what Arsenal have got. I know people are taking the piss out of Arsenal, but I would take, if somebody said to me, Man United from next year are going to finish second 5 years in a row, but you'll be in the Champions League every year, please sign me up to that. 100% sign me up to that. I'm sure after 5 years, I'll be very frustrated like Arsenal fans are. But from what we've done over the last 10 years, I would take 5 years of second place and being in the Champions League every year. Because imagine the attraction of players, the football we'd be playing, the money that would be coming in. That is the dream ticket. And you know what? Anybody who says, oh, that's unambitious, you do realise what I've just said there is higher than what Man United want. Saying I'd sign up to second place and being in the Champions League every year for the next 5 years may sound unambitious to some, but our club ambition isn't even that. We've said for the next 5 years, as long as we're in Europe. So Berarda said it himself. They factored in as long as they're in the Europa League, they'll be okay. So, yeah, I want us to win the league, but I'd sign up to second place for 5 years in a row. Yeah, because I don't think we're going to do that. So it's better than what's going to happen, isn't it? Hope you're well, Mark. Summer needs to be a home run. Three new midfielders, hopefully. Tonali and Anderson are two of those, but then so much more like left back and another striker. So much to do, but need to leave no stone unturned. Completely agree. Completely agree, Daniel. I did a video last week about midfielders, and a lot of you liked it. So, and I think it went out on a Saturday. So I've done another one about left backs that I'm going to put up a little bit later. Basically, I found our left back. Five left backs. Quite in depth, across Europe, statistical against performance, against availability. So that's going up a little bit later, because I do think right back's a little bit more of a conversation, but left back, we desperately need a left back. I think we need a right back as well. I do. I don't think Mazraoui or Dalot are going to offer. And look, Dalot's interview, a lot of people talking about it. I haven't really watched it. I found it quite boring because it just felt like a bit of a PR piece, but there were some little bits in there. But ultimately, I'm sort of like, I'm listening to a player talk about Man United's past and future, who probably shouldn't be here anymore. He's been here for 7 years and he's actually not good enough. I like Dalot. I like Dalot. I think he's, you know, he talks about helping the younger players, being an experienced player. He speaks glowingly of Bruno and, you know, speaks really, really well. But is it not being truthful to be honest? You're not good enough. You're not good enough. Comparable to what everybody else has got, you're not good enough. Personally, if I was Jason Wilcox, I would be like, in a dream world, we've got Mendes at left back and Hakimi at right back. That dream is a fantasy. Find me the closest thing that we can get to that. If your neighbor turns up in a Ferrari and you're looking out your window and you're going, oh my God, that car is amazing, but you know you're never going to afford it, do you just accept defeat, or do you start doing something about finding something that's as close to that as possible? And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. I would be sat in that boardroom saying, look at the West Ham game. We've got a 6'5" striker and we can't put the crosses in. If we had Mendes and Hakimi, we'd have a fucking field day. Get me two fullbacks that play like that. And they'll be out there, because you know what? There's kids out there. There's 16-year-olds out there, there's 19-year-olds out there, there's 22-year-olds out there that model their game on Hakimi and Mendes because they watch football. They're out there. They're out there. The next Elliot Anderson's out there. They're all out there because there's always a wave of players coming through. And we, you know, Bournemouth are very good at it. Brighton are very good at it. Dortmund are very good at it. Leipzig are very good at it. There are players coming through. You just got to find them. Would you keep Ten Hag versus sacking Amorim to keep the Ten Hag project, says Mystic? I mean, shoulda, woulda, coulda. I would have kept Amorim till the end of the season. I would have kept Ten Hag till the end of the season. And that's as far as I would say. I don't think in-season sackings ever do you any good, really. Because it either goes the way of Rangnick and Amorim, where they come in and can't turn the ship around, or it goes the way of Ollie and maybe Carrick, where they turn the ship around, but it's a false positive, and you end up sticking with that and costing yourself time. So I'm never a big fan. Look at the Spurs situation. Like, if that Tudor keeps them up, they'll probably give him the job. I don't think that's the right thing for Spurs, and he'll be gone by Christmas. Right, thanks everyone for watching. The story of the day today is this. We have a 7 o'clock show coming up on the United Stand. We have 3 o'clock live on That's Football because Chelsea are playing Burnley and Villa are playing Leeds, and we could do with one or both of them dropping points in our pursuit of the top five. 8 o'clock, no 8 o'clock. I'm doing 7 o'clock because at 8 o'clock we're doing Man City against Newcastle on That's Football. So That's Football at 3 o'clock. Tune in for that if you're available. Tomorrow, 8 o'clock show tomorrow night. We'll have a morning show for you, and 2 o'clock, Forest Liverpool, because that's big for us as well. And then NLD at 4:30. Thanks everyone for watching. Thank you very much. I hope you have a great weekend, whatever you're doing. I'm sure I'll see you on That's Football a little bit later and on here. Thanks everyone who smashed a like on the video. And I will speak to you all in a bit. Take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.